y'all join me in prayer? Father Almighty, we bow before your throne of grace today. We give you honor and glory for who you are, for giving us the breath of life, for allowing us to come and worship before you, and not only on your Sabbath day, but also on the days set apart that you have called holy, that we are indeed privileged to do so. We ask now that your guidance would be among us, that your words would speak to us, that what we would learn would be useful in the future, not only for our own benefit, but also in taking the truth to this world. We ask you to guide us, and we thank you for all things, for good health, and for those that do not have it at this time, we ask that you be there, Yahweh Rapha, that you would heal them, that you would raise them to full health again. We know it's difficult to serve you when you're distracted by such things. So we pray, Almighty Yahweh, now that you'll bless us and be with us. All those who are seeking you, may you be their guide, and that we might also be a help in that. This prayer and petition now we ask in Yahshua's name. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Welcome those who have traveled a distance to be with us today, and those that are distant today without traveling over the media, welcome to the service. Tomorrow, of course, is the Feast of Weeks, also known as the Feast of First Fruits, Pentecost, Shavuot. And how we arrive at tomorrow's date is a precise count that Yahweh has given us in his word that began 7 weeks ago, as you remember, at the Feast of Unleavened Bread. There is a traditional fear among people, some people, who refuse to keep Pentecost on Sunday because Sunday is the day of the sun. And if this is our motive for keeping the Feast of Weeks, you could say they got a point. But you can also ask, how can the true seeker worship on Sabbath, which the world calls Saturday, in honor of Saturn? Because it's a pagan day, or you can use it for any day that the high day falls on, say Wednesday, Woden's Day, Tuesday, Thus's Day, Monday, the Moon's Day. You know, in observing Yahweh's calendar, we simply count it out as Yahweh's commanded, and let the day fall where it may. It happens to be that Pentecost is a day that falls on the first day of the week because, well, I'll explain it. The pivot point in establishing the Feast of Weeks is the weekly Sabbath, not the high day within Unleavened Bread, but the weekly Sabbath. We can prove that by Numbers 28:26, which says, also in the day of the first fruits, when you bring a new meal offering unto Yahweh, after your weeks be out. So we're talking about weeks that are counted, and when you come to the end of the week, you come to a significant point. The wave sheaf offering then is done. 7 Sabbaths shall be complete, we find in Leviticus 23:15. You have to have complete weeks. You can't have partial weeks. You can't stop at Tuesday. You can't stop at Thursday. You got to go all the way through a complete week, which starts on Sunday and ends on Sabbath, as we all know. The word is actually there, Shabbat, in the Hebrew, and it's the same word as we find in the fourth commandment. It's pretty clear. It's the weekly Sabbath. So complete weeks must be counted, ending with the end of the week, not the middle of the week, or two-thirds of the week. The Sabbath is also an even greater way, a pivotal day for the believer who honors and follows Yahweh, because he's doing it every week, following Yahweh's holy day. Identifies you as the follower of the true Father in heaven. It is a sign that Yahweh gives us, the true worshiper. Quiz time. Which one of the Ten Commandments begins with the word remember? Exodus 20, verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Of course, it's the fourth commandment. The word remember, incidentally, is zakar in the Hebrew, number 2142 in Strong's, and it means to mark. And in the same way, that word Yahweh used when he put his rainbow in the sky. Remember that? And by it, Yahweh, he said he remembers, zakar, the everlasting covenant that he made with his people. But this one refers to a covenant not to destroy ever again the earth with a flood. Zakar. So Yahweh keeps his promises. Man doesn't keep his promises. Yahweh does. Every time you see that rainbow, you know that Yahweh is there keeping a promise, his covenant, that he would not again destroy this earth with a flood. He is going to destroy this earth with fire eventually, but not with a flood. Isn't it remarkable that Satan at the end, in the last-ditch effort to rid this world of Yahweh's people, throws a flood at him? In Revelation 12, 16. What does Yahweh do? He kept his covenant. He opens up the earth and swallows the flood. Yahweh is faithful. Now, in direct contradiction to Yahweh's promise and his covenant, which of the Ten Commandments do most people say is no longer in effect? We all know. Number 4. The one commandment we're specifically told to remember is the only commandment that's been universally ignored and forgotten. Most churchgoers will argue that the commandments are still important. Yes, it's... No. I think they're important. But it's been drummed into their heads that the fourth isn't one of them. Not important. Question, which one of the Ten Commandments does Yahweh say is so important that it's the very sign showing that you are one of his own? I think we've answered that. Exodus 31, 14. You shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy unto you. Everyone that defiles it shall surely be put to death. For whosoever does any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days shall work be done, but in the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to Yahweh. Whosoever does any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Excuse me. Now, all honest scholars will agree that the commandments are important and are necessary today. No human being with any intelligence at all would deny that law, in particular the commandments, protect us from all sorts of harmful behavior on this earth. In fact, a society can't live without laws. You get some primitive group out in New Guinea somewhere or somewhere out on an island, guess what? They start developing rules because they find out people don't get along without rules. Yahweh calls his laws holy, just, and good. But when it comes to the fourth commandment, howls of protest will arise, just as certain as the sun's going to come up tomorrow. Oh, you don't need that. You don't need to keep the Sabbath anymore. In fact, Yahweh says the Sabbath is indeed a test commandment to see whether you are one of his own. It's a promise that comes with it as well. It's the only one upon which a covenant was established. The Sabbath is a key commandment because you keep the Sabbath every week. And in doing that, you're in line with Yahweh's will. You're putting him first. When you don't, you're putting yourself first. That's very simple. Very simple to understand. You do what you want to do on that day and not his will. So then, there again, you're keeping your will, not his. Now, seeing how key it is, if you were Hasatan, what would you do about the Sabbath? When you know how important it is, how key it is in keeping you in line with Yahweh and his will, what would you do? Would you make it a target for total rejection? Which one would you zero in on with both guns blazing? Which commandment would you try to tirelessly, endlessly try to obliterate in the minds of Bible believers? Which commandment would you make it the most enticing to break? to have all these other distractions going on at that time, like sports, entertainment, shopping. Which commandment would you use in that way to destroy people's obedience? Movie premieres that start on Friday night. Home improvement promotions that are done on Sabbath. Special sales going on. All the dizzying arrays of activities that can pull you away. What one would you do? You'd do exactly what he's done. To focus on the world rather than on Yahweh. Well, let's get back to our inquiry. What do the scriptures say about the Sabbath and Sunday? Did Yahweh bless and hallow the Sabbath? Yes, he did. Did he bless Sunday? Well, let's see. Genesis 2:3. Elohim blessed the seventh day and sanctified it because that in it he rested from all his work which Yahweh created and made. Did he rest on the Sabbath? Yes. Did he rest on Sunday? For in 6 days Yahweh made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Did Yahweh command the keeping of the Sabbath? Yes, he did. Did he command the keeping of Sunday? Well, let's see. Exodus 20, verse 8, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shall you labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of Yahweh, your Elohim. In it you shall not do any work, you nor your son, your daughter, your manservant, your maidservant, nor the cattle, nor the stranger that is within your gates. Now, did Yahweh call the Sabbath a holy day? Yes, he did. Did he call Sunday a holy day? Well, let's see. Isaiah 58:13. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of Yahweh, honorable, and shall honor him in doing all his ways, I should say not doing your own ways, but or finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words even. Setting it apart, making it holy. Don't do the things that you normally do in the week, such as, you know, business, entertainment, and that sort of thing. But focus your attention then on Yahweh. That's what he wants. Does he offer great rewards for keeping holy the Sabbath? Yes, he does. Does he offer the same for Sunday? Let's see. Isaiah 58:13. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, well, we just read that, then shall you delight yourself in Yahweh, and I will cause you to ride upon the high places of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob, your father, for the mouth of Yahweh has spoken it. I believe this is more prophetic. Oh, yeah, you're blessed anyway, even today. But I think this is specifically speaking of a future time where you're going to ride on the high places of the earth. I mean, it even says that the Gentiles will serve you as Yahweh's people one day because you're faithful to Yahweh. Will the Sabbath be kept in the kingdom? Yes, it will. Will Sunday be kept in the kingdom? Well, let's see. Isaiah 66:23, and it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another and from one Sabbath to another shall all flesh come to worship before me, says Yahweh. Should believers pray to keep the Sabbath command? Yes. Should they pray to keep Sunday? Well, let's see. Matthew 24:20. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. Very significant verse. This is New Testament. And yet we see the Sabbath, so important, Yahweh says, pray that you don't have to profane it. Either not on the winter or have to flee on the Sabbath day. Not as important as Hebrews 4:9 that says there is therefore a rest, a Sabbath for the people of Yahweh. That's New Testament. We're talking New Testament here. Did righteous women observe the Sabbath according to the commandment? Yes, righteous women observed the Sabbath. Did they observe Sunday? Well, let's see. Luke 23:56, and they returned and prepared spices and ointments and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. Now, if Yahshua is to become our rest, and this is what we hear all the time, why didn't these devout followers of Yahweh let him be their rest? Because, well, actually, he was resting. He's in death. Why didn't they just rest in him? Was it Yahshua's routine to keep the Sabbath? Yes. Was it his habit to keep Sunday? Well, let's see. Luke 4:16. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, it's what he typically did, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. Was it Paul's manner to worship on Sabbath? Yes, it was. Was it Paul's manner to worship on Sunday? Let's see. Acts 17:2, and Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. It was important for him to teach the Sabbath by observing it as well, not just talking about it. Were people punished by Yahweh for breaking the Sabbath? Yes, they were. Were they punished by Yahweh for the same thing on the first day of the week? Let's see. Jeremiah 17:27. But if you will not hearken unto me to hallow the Sabbath day and to bear a burden, even entering at the gates of Jerusalem on the Sabbath day, see, we're not even supposed to approach some kind of work, prepare for it, you know, line everything up for it. So as soon as that sun goes down, you can go at it. He says, if you don't even approach the gates of Jerusalem on the Sabbath day, then I will, if you do that, I'll kindle a fire in the gates thereof, and it shall devour the palace of Jerusalem, and it shall not be quenched. Okay, did Paul make tents on the Sabbath day? Let's see. Acts 18:4. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. Every Sabbath. He didn't go say, well, okay, I'm going to hit the Jews this Sabbath. I'm going to go to the Gentiles Sunday or, you know, in a couple weeks. No, every Sabbath he was there. The Gentiles were there as well. Is the Sabbath a sign for our sanctification, our setting apart? Yes, it is. How about for Sunday? Let's see. Ezekiel 20, verse 12. Moreover, also I gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am Yahweh that sanctifies or sets them apart. You come out of the world on the Sabbath like today, you're set apart. You're not out there. You're not there. You're here. You're set apart. But not only physically, of course, spiritually set apart for Yahweh. Because this is what he wants us to do. So, why on earth do 99.9% of people, of worshipers, I should say, included, work on Sabbath and worship on Sunday? Isn't there some kind of huge disconnect going on here? How many of these Sunday believers could give you even a feeble excuse why they keep Sunday? At many jobs and organizations, the reason typically given as to why things are done is, well, that's the way we've always done it. I had that pulled on me when at my job a while back. That's the way we've always done it. So tradition becomes our reason. Even when doing so is counterproductive. Well, that's the way we've always done it. We're going to continue on that track. Tradition is an enemy of truth. I see it more and more and more the longer I live in this faith. Tradition is an enemy of truth. It's one of the biggest, other than maybe Satan, because we human beings are creatures of habit. We do the same things over and over. We get up, we do the same things, getting ready for wherever we're going, school, work, whatever. We do the same things over and over. That's just a small example. Our behavior is the same all the way through the day. We do traditional things. We do things simply because that's the way we've always done it. It's habitual. Like keeping pagan holidays. No one ever stops to ask why. Why? They just fall into it every time it comes around every year. Xmas, Ishtar. It's just because that's the way we've always done it. It's the most illogical behavior there is. Do it because we always do it. That's probably the lamest excuse for anything I can ever think of. One of the czars of Russia, walking in his park, came upon a sentry standing over a bare piece of ground. He asked the man, why are you doing that? Why are you guarding this spot? Well, his answer was, all I know is that the captain of the guard ordered me to do it, to stand over this spot. So the czar went to the captain said, why is that soldier over there guarding that bare spot of ground? All I know is that regulations call for a sentry to be posted there. The Tsar then ordered an investigation, but no one in the government of Russia knew why that spot needed to be guarded. Then they opened the royal archives, and the mystery was solved. The records showed that 100 years before, in the late 18th century, Catherine the Great had planted a rose bush on that spot and ordered a sentry posted there to keep people from walking on the plant. Eventually, of course, the rose bush died, but nobody thought to cancel the order. And for 100 years, guards stood over a spot where a rose bush once had grown. Year after year, they guarded what wasn't there, and no one ever questioned why. Tradition. For millennia, people have been guarding and worshiping something that isn't there. They've been keeping a day for which there is no justification. All that survives is an ancient directive from long-deceased church prelates, church authorities. 3 centuries after the Bible was completed, church and government leaders in Rome tried to stamp out true Sabbath worship and transfer its sacredness over to Sunday worship, first day of the week. You know, only Yahweh can make a day holy. Only Yahweh can separate a day. And nowhere in the Bible did he ever sanctify the first day of the week, as we have just found. We tried, couldn't find any justification. It'd be interesting, knowing the truth of that patch of ground, to listen to some pompous bureaucrat devise all sorts of reasons to explain why a guard was legitimately posted there each day over that bare plot of ground. He goes to the premise, well, there has to be a reason, so I got to come up with one. And I think that's how they work it with Sunday. There has to be a reason, so we'll find one. Somewhere in here, there's got to be a reason to find it. And they look, and they look, and they look, and they look, and they can't find it. So they come up with stuff. A brother once gave me a newspaper article published by the Roman Catholic Diocese entitled, Why Worship on Sunday and Not the Sabbath? The standing feature where it appeared in that paper was, where is that in the Bible? So let's see how Roman church authorities today explain the tradition of worshiping on Sunday and see whether they can tell us where it is in the Bible and where they get the authority to make the switch from Sabbath to Sunday. For all the Catholics and Protestants follow the same thing, started with the Catholics. I found a Catholic website asking, should Christians worship on Sabbath, Saturday, or on Sunday? It said, quote, in the Holy Bible, we read, so Yahweh blessed the seventh day and hallowed it because on it Yahweh rested from all the work that he had done in creation, Genesis 2:3. Quote, remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy, Exodus 20:8, which we read. Because of this, some Christian religions, such as Seventh-day Adventists, condemn those who worship on Sunday instead of Saturday. They say that Yahweh has ordained that we worship on the last day of the week. Saturday, the day of rest, and not on the first day of the week, Sunday. So, truly, why do Catholics worship on Sunday? I'm still quoting, of course. If you were asked by someone, could you provide a valid reason for Sunday worship? There are 4 main reasons. Okay, let's get down to the nitty-gritty. 4 main reasons why the Catholics worship on Sunday. We're going to have all our questions answered right here. Right here and now. Here it is. Here they are. 1, early Christians worshiped on Sundays. Well, how early are we talking about? There we go again. That's what we've always done it. There's that argument. That's the way we've always done it. So base it on something that we've already done for years. That's their justification. In the Holy Bible, we read that the disciples of Yahshua were plucking heads of grain and eating them on the Sabbath when such was forbidden under Jewish law. Again, I'm still quoting Matthew 12, Mark 2, and so forth. Now, that day was a Sabbath. So the Jews said to the man who had been cured, it is the Sabbath. It's not lawful for you to carry your mat. But he answered them, the man who made me well said to me, take up your mat and walk. From the above passages, we see that Yahshua did not set strict restrictions regarding the Sabbath. In fact, Yahshua proclaimed himself as L-O-R-D of the Sabbath. Then he, Yahshua, said to them, the Son of Man, Yahshua, is L-O-R-D of the Sabbath. Therefore, it is up to Yahshua to determine what can and what cannot be done on the Sabbath. Well, I have to agree with most of that anyway. Elsewhere in the Holy Bible, we read that St. Paul informed the Colossians that they should not be disturbed by those who condemn them for observing the Sabbath. Oh, Colossians 2:16, I should have seen it coming. Therefore, do not let anyone condemn you in matters of food and drink or observing festivals, new moons, or Sabbaths. Of course, we understand this isn't talking about just anybody. And what is he talking about? Yahweh's days or church-ordained days? He didn't explain that. Why did he inform the Colossians not to be disturbed because of their worship on Sunday? Where does Sunday come from? All of a sudden, they're throwing Sunday in there. Wait a minute. He said, let's go back to the videotape. Let not any man condemn you in matters of food and drink, of observing festivals, new moons, or Sabbaths. They just made a giant leap to Sunday. It is because from the early days of the church, Christian worship took place on Sundays, not on Saturday. Well, again, how early are we going back? Are we going back to the apostles, which still kept the Sabbath? Or later on, you know, after Constantine and all that, when the switch was finally complete? Because there were times when people were keeping both days. They were confused. Church people were telling them this. The Bible told them that. So they were keeping, you know, one was keeping one was keeping the other. So anyway, yeah. This was implemented to recognize who the Christians were. The Jewish people worshipped on Sabbath in the synagogues. The Christians worshipped on Sundays in their homes, in the catacombs, any place that was convenient and safe. I don't know where they get, specifically they get that. Maybe hiding from the Romans they might have, but I don't know about that. The Catholic Church, okay, this is reason number two. The Catholic Church possesses the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Oh, well, there's our answer. Anybody need a Bible? I don't need it anymore. I'll just follow what the keys to the kingdom tell me. Yahshua said to Peter, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Matthew 16:19. We're all familiar with that one. Yahshua gave Peter the authority to change the day of worship from Saturday to Sunday, another giant leap. All Yahshua was doing here was recognizing that Peter's outreach to the Gentiles was key to their salvation. Not just Peter, but Yahshua said the same thing to the other disciples. Did they ever tell you that? Matthew 18:18. He's talking to all the disciples, said the same words, not just to Peter. Yahshua was the rock upon which Peter's confession rests. Yahshua was the rock upon which all authority rested and on which the assembly would be built. Yahshua, the Petra, the big rock. You heard of the Petra overseas, the big carvings in this huge mountain of rock? That's big rock. That's Yahshua. Little rock is Peter. He's Petros, small pebble. Would Yahshua establish his assembly on a small pebble? See, he's making a play on words here. We understand that. By the way, when it comes to that church, did you know that the word cardinal means hinge? It means hinge. In other words, papal cardinals are priests on priests of the hinge on which the door of salvation swings. So they can make the determination whether you're going to go up or down. Reason number three, he says the resurrection, of course, well, this is the big one. The resurrection was on Sunday. And this is the result of looking for, you know, proof texting, trying to find a text to prove what you already believe. And this is what they've come up with. And you knew we couldn't leave this subject without hitting this one. Using this argument, the resurrection justification, the weakest argument for all Sunday worship, it's the one that's put out there all the time. By the way, Yahshua wasn't resurrected. Number one, wasn't resurrected on Sunday. He was resurrected at the end of the Sabbath, the Bible says. He says, through the glorious resurrection, Yahshua elevated Sunday as a day of importance, it having become the day of the L-O-R-D. Yahshua could have resurrected on Saturday, but he chose Sunday. Well, we just disproved that one. Surely this was a sign to the apostles during the early days of the church. Now, where is the clear statement that transfers Sabbath worship to Sunday? I mean, when Yahweh wants you to keep something, he gives you clear statements, and he does it abundantly. It's all over. It starts out in the Old Testament. You see it carried on by the prophets. You see it carried on by the apostles. You see it carried on by Yahshua. He repeats it. He commands it. He says, you got to keep the Sabbath and all that. There's nothing. There's no command here. It's just connecting certain dots in a man-made way. Where is the justification? Just because, and he didn't, but suppose he did resurrect on Sunday. How does that make it a worship day? That's always boggled my mind. Anyway, he talks about Sabbath worship hundreds of times, and this is all they've got for Sunday. All the scriptural basis they've got, their big one they just pulled out, their big gun, it's not even a command. There's nothing there. It's just a statement. A forced interpretation with no foundation. That's just incredible. And people, 99.9%, are falling right along with it because they've done it for 2,000 years. And so the early day Christians met on Sunday to worship, he says. On the first day of the week, when we met to break bread, Paul was holding a discussion with them since he intended to leave the next day. Acts 20, verse 7. Now hold on a minute. Hold on. What did we just read? Go back. On the first day of the week, when we met to break bread, someone says, hey guys, come on over. I bought some chicken sandwiches. That's why they came together. No day of worship, a day to eat together, a common meal. When was this? First part of the week. There's nothing in the scriptures that says it was Sunday. It says the first part of the week could have been Sunday, could have been Monday, could have been Tuesday. That's all first part of the week. We don't know. It's not specific. Nothing said about Sunday. Did you know that the origin of the origin of the church collection on Sunday is in the Holy Bible? Yeah, well, according to him. Now, concerning the collection for the saints, you should follow the directions I gave to the churches in Galatia. On the first day of every week, each of you is to put aside and save whatever extra you earn so that the collections need not be taken when I come. Wow, what a botch of 1 Corinthians 16. That's not how my Bible reads. Mine says, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the assemblies of Galatia, even so do you. Verse 2, upon the first of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store whatever he may be prospered in, that there be no gatherings when I come. Verse 3, and when I come, whomsoever you shall approve by your letters, them will I send to bring you your liberality unto Jerusalem. What is this talking about? Is this a collection plate going around? Well, go to Romans chapter 5, verse 26. It specifically mentions, talks about a collection, a gathering of foodstuffs for a famine that was going on in Jerusalem. These people needed help. Another assemblies said, okay, we'll help them. We'll gather up what we got. And Paul obviously isn't going to do it on Sabbath. So he says, when I come the first part of the week, I'll gather it up so I don't have to go around, you know, put it all one big pile right in the center here. I'll come and get it, and we'll all take it then to Jerusalem, not to the church. He said, for the saints. All right, I think we said enough about that one. We have studies in all these, by the way, but I know a lot of people who are just tuning in are unaware of this topic so much, so I thought I'd go into it a little bit. And being that tomorrow will be the day of Pentecost, it kind of fits in with this. But anyway, Pentecost Sunday. The Holy Spirit chose to come to the Catholic Church on Sunday. Therefore, those who worship on Saturday, they do not recognize the tradition of the church since its early days. They do not recognize Yahshua's, I'll put the right name, gift to the Catholic Church of the keys to the kingdom of Yahweh. They do not consider the day of Yahshua's resurrection as an important day that should be remembered every week. Nor do they consider the coming of the Holy Spirit to the church on Sunday as a worthy gift to be remembered every Sunday. Now you know why Catholics worship on Sunday. Glad it's all very clear. Probably for most it's clear as mud. The first day of the week, as we said, is not referred to as the Lord's Day in Scripture. This man uses Acts 27. He uses 1 Corinthians 16:2 as his authority for that statement. So let's look them up. Acts 20, verse 7. I'll use my trusty RSB here. And we find, "And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight." Do you see any reference to the Lord's Day here? I don't either. In truth, this actually says in the Greek, the first of the Sabbaths in the count to Pentecost, or Feast of Weeks. That's really what it's referring to. The first of the Sabbaths in that count. Remember, the Sabbaths have to be complete weeks. Okay, he references 1 Corinthians 16, so let's go there. 1 Corinthians 16:2. This is his authority, so we'll go to his authority. "Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come." Again, there's no Lord's Day here. Do you see it? I don't see it. Maybe I've got the wrong translation. Maybe we better start over, make a new RSB, because it's not conforming with this Catholic's interpretation. If you look at Lord's Day, it's a reference in the Scriptures all over the place to the coming of the Messiah, not for worshiping on Sunday. Revelation 1:10, look at the notes on that. Amos 5:18 says, "Don't desire the day of the Lord." Wait a minute, that's a Sunday. Why are we not to desire it? I mean, we're not supposed to keep Sunday? I'm really confused now. So it's a day of darkness and not light. Wait a minute. It's a day of the sun. I'm not getting it. Also, you can look at Joel chapter 2, 1 to 3. Again, it's talking about a day of Yahshua's return, a day of judgment. Verses 10 and 11 as well. Look up just a few of the 20 times it's used in Scriptures and confirm that it refers exclusively to the day of Yahshua's return and his judgment on this wicked earth. You want another one? Let's go to Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 14, where we read, "The great day of Yahweh," or the day of the Lord in some versions, "is near, it is near, and hastes greatly. Even the voice of the day of Yahweh, the mighty man, shall cry there bitterly." Why? Because he's not in his Sunday pew? No, because Yahshua's coming. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds. It goes on and on and on. Thick darkness, a day of the trumpet and the alarm against the fenced cities and against the high towers. I'll bring distress upon men. It goes on and on. This isn't talking about Sunday. He said he's going to bring an alarm against the fenced cities, the high towers. This is the Bible's language, not mine. The term Lord's Day has nothing to do with worshiping on Sunday. Now, to claim that the Sabbath is now transferred to the first day of the week because it was through his resurrection that we become a new creation is a giant chasm of impossibility. And it's going to swallow up anyone who takes the leap of man-made justification. First, as we said, he wasn't resurrected on Sunday morning. The women came to the tomb then, but he was already gone. It says he, by the end of the Sabbath, he was gone, so that doesn't prove anything. Anyway, how does a day of resurrection magically make a day of worship? Again, if Yahweh wanted to change it, he would have given us, in no uncertain terms, hundreds of times, this is my day now. This is the change I'm making. This is, you know, on and on. Not one word ever said. Where is the direct command for it? There isn't even a suggestion, a hint, a possibility that a change had been made. Nothing. It's silent about it. And the fact that all we got to do is do whatever Yahshua did. Yahshua kept the Sabbath. That's all you got to do. If you're confused about what to do, what truth to follow, just follow Yahshua. Pretty simple. Do what he did. He's our example. He's our guide. We follow his footsteps. I mean, if that's what he did, then that's what we do. If he kept tabernacles, then we keep tabernacles. What it says. If he kept the feast, then we keep the feast. Well, Sunday worship, of course, is the result of a decree of the Roman Church. We understand that. They say that they had the authority because Yahshua gave the keys to the kingdom to Peter. We've already explained that. Who was not the first pope, maybe in their eyes. But anyway, how do you reconcile church teachings with the Bible and when it commands certain things? As we've always said, and we'll continue to say, the ironclad proof is to go to Old Testament law, which defines New Testament truth. The foundation is in the Old Testament. If you believe otherwise, and you're left with really no shred of support. Remember that Paul says there were already heresies among. He's out there trying to convert these Gentiles, and you got these other guys coming in there. You got the guys from the Jewish end. You got these heretics coming in with their own ideas, and like Martian and some of these others, just throwing at him all this other stuff, really confusing people. Wait a minute. I don't get it. You're saying this, he's saying this. I'm really confused. So Yahshua said, look, there's going to be heresies. Just beware of it. Beware of it. But you know, you can prove my ministry and other ministries by the miracles we could do. You know, and the one, he wanted to buy the Holy Spirit. He wanted to do it too so he could prove his ministry. And they said, that, you know, your money perish with you. Paul said there were already heresies in his day, with some even denying Yahshua. Denying the Savior that bought them. Are we going to base a teaching on one of them? The early church adopted a tradition of celebrating the Eucharist liturgy on Sundays instead of Sabbath. Didn't Yahshua say in Matthew 15:3, why do you transgress the commandment of Yahweh by your tradition? Tradition, again, number one enemy, almost other than Hasatan, of the truth. Tradition is an enemy. Go back and relook at your traditions. We say this all the time. People say, you know, I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe what you said. I went back and checked it. You were right. We talk about there's no rapture. I remember one man said to me, yeah, you were right. I went back. He says, where are these people taken when Yahshua, you know, before Yahshua returns? And it says, where the vultures, the eagles, the vultures are gathered. Well, they're taken to be destroyed. They're not being raptured. He said, you're right. I never knew that, but I never saw it. So the ones that are taken first have a big problem. Remember, he says he's going to bring the angels and separate the tares first from the good stuff? Just the opposite of what you're told. Anyway, early church tradition did a big number. And from then on, for 2,000 years, we've had to deal with this error and try to change people's whole concept according to Scripture than what they're doing now. The Roman Church, because of their anti-Semitism, sought to separate from Judaism what they thought was Jewish worship. The problem is they didn't go back to the source. They didn't go back to the Old Testament as a foundation. They just focused on twisting the New Testament. So the implication is that the Sabbath is also Jewish and therefore it's wrong as well. It's lumped together with animal sacrifices, circumcision, and since when does a change in worship rites affect a day of worship anyway? I don't know. But that's another giant leap they take, and you're just supposed to say, oh, okay, I'll swallow that. I'll go along with that. That makes sense to me. And never check it. Where was the Sabbath ever changed when the change of ritual, the change of law administration took place? Where? It's not there. Yahweh gave Yahshua to become one sacrifice for all time and just in that make a way for people to join Israel in the same covenant promise. He only made a covenant with Israel, nobody else. So I think it's pretty key that we look at that covenant and see, as Paul tells us, we've got to be grafted into it, not come up with a whole new one that has no basis in Scripture. Yahweh gave Yahshua to become one sacrifice for all time and make a way for all people to join that covenant. That's the gist. That's the key. That's the turning point. Isaiah 58:13 prophesies that after the holy Sabbath has been trodden down many generations, it's going to be restored again. You know, I think I want to read that. If this doesn't, along with the New Testament, you know, Hebrews 4:9 and the other one we read about making, don't make your journey, hopefully, pray that your journey not be on the Sabbath. This one is prophetic, and it's talking about our day, our time. Isaiah 58, verse 12. And they that shall be of you shall build the old waste places. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations, and I believe this is on our seal, and you shall be called the repairer of the breach. The breach. So the Bible even says there's going to be a breach. There's going to be a break. There's going to be a serious break between what Yahweh gave anciently and what's followed today. The repairers of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. And then what does he say in verse 13? If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure, on my holy day. So the two tie in beautifully, both scriptures. And the Bible never calls it a Jewish Sabbath anyway, but always the Sabbath of Yahweh, your Elohim. So I think men need to be very careful when they stigmatize something in that way, especially in the way that they have done it. 30 years after Yahshua's resurrection, it's still called the Sabbath day. Acts 13, verse 14. Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles, called it the Sabbath day. In about the year 45 in Acts 13:27, didn't Paul know? Or shall we believe modern teachers who affirm that it ceased to be kept after the resurrection? All you got to do is open your Bible. I don't care what Bible you look at. It's going to, you know, unless you write your own, it's going to say that they were still keeping the Sabbath. Luke, writing as late as the year 62, calls it the Sabbath day. Acts 13:44. He didn't say anything about Sunday. He said the Sabbath day. There's just absolutely, this guy comes up with four reasons, and they're all flim-flam about changing the Sabbath to Sunday. I can come up with hundreds in the Bible about the true Sabbath. It isn't even hard. It was routine to hold prayer meetings on that day in Acts 16:13. Paul read the scriptures in public meetings on that day, Acts 17:2-3. It was his custom to preach on that day, Acts 17:2-3 again. And the book of Acts alone gives a record of his holding many, many meetings on the Sabbath with Gentiles, not just with Jews, with Gentiles. Now, why would he say, okay, brethren, me being a Jew myself, we'll talk about this Sabbath. The rest of you come back tomorrow. We're then going to go on the true Sabbath tomorrow, Sunday. We'll go through these things again. I'll show you how everything's changed. But I'm going to teach my brethren according to the Bible, according to the Old Testament, since that's the Bible they use. You and I will then work on the New Testament tomorrow on Sunday. If that was in there, I could say, oh, maybe you got a point. I don't see anything like that ever in the scriptures. It's just not there. His custom was to preach, his manner, his habit, his routine was to teach, preach on the Sabbath. So let's look at a few facts as we kind of wind this up concerning the first day of the week. Yahweh commands men to work on the first day of the week. Exodus 20, verses 8 to 11. Is it wrong to obey Yahweh? Number two, none of the patriarchs ever kept Sunday. Can't find a record. Anyone ever did. Number three, none of the prophets ever kept Sunday as well. Number four, Yahweh himself calls it a working day in Ezekiel 46:1. Does Yahweh change? No. Yahweh did not rest upon it. He rested on the Sabbath. So there's no even hint of a need for Sunday worship based on Yahweh's actions. He never blessed it. Never blessed Sunday. He did bless the Sabbath. Yahshua never blessed it. He did honor the Sabbath. The apostles never rested on it. Never see anywhere where they rested on the Sabbath. If they were resting on the Sabbath, why didn't the Jews just completely ignore them? What did they do? They attacked them for breaking the Sabbath because they had their own, there's another aspect to this. They had their own added rules and regulations, which you couldn't do. They put a fence around the law, so you couldn't even get close to breaking the law. And, hand washing cups and stuff, Yahshua went through all that. They added to it. So this is what they were criticizing Yahshua for, as we read early on. They weren't there to criticize his keeping Sunday. They wouldn't even have cared if he was keeping Sunday or any of the disciples were keeping. They wouldn't care. But Sabbath, they knew what the Sabbath was. They were, this is the day they honored, and obviously they were offended by what they saw as Sabbath breaking. Sunday is never sanctified, not once. The New Testament nowhere forbids work to be done on it. No penalty is provided for its violation. Go ahead, have at it. Except on Pentecost, go ahead and work on Sunday. No blessing is promised for its observance. The Bible never calls it a Sabbath. It's never called Yahweh's day. It's never called even a rest day. No name is even given to it. Now, we know how important names are. If the only day of the week that has a name is Sabbath, isn't that significant? If the day that everybody keeps as Sabbath is not even mentioned with a name, isn't that significant? In an ironic twist, the Catholic Church criticizes Protestants for keeping Sunday. Some of these old things that you can find on the web, I remember this was in a publication years ago. Quote, it is well to remind the Presbyterians, Baptists, Methodists, and all others, Christians, that the Bible does not support them anywhere in their observance of Sunday. Sunday is an institution of the Roman Catholic Church, and those who observe the day observe a commandment of the Catholic Church. This was by a priest in New Jersey, reported in the newspaper up there in 1903. This one is by a chancellor of the Archdiocese of Baltimore, 1920. He said, if Protestants would follow the Bible, they should worship Yahweh on the Sabbath day. In keeping Sunday, they're following a law of the Catholic Church. This one is by a cardinal, Gibbon, in a book called The Faith of Our Fathers. You may search the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, and you'll not find a single line authorizing the sanctification of Sunday. The scriptures enforce the religious observance of Saturday, a day which we never sanctify. I mean, it's astounding to us that they can openly admit it, but then again, they've openly admitted that, or said that they make all the rules. You follow the church, whatever the church says. So if we want to change it, we have that authority. Peter gave it to us. Well, you go back to the roots. It becomes very, very clear I had a key, a really neat little key there, and it's gone. But anyway, that's why I call it a key commandment, the Sabbath. It's key. It's key to our worship, our life, the Sabbath day. We'll always keep the Sabbath as long as we have breath, I hope, and that each of us will honor Yahweh that way and never accept a man-made day, whether it's holidays or whatever it might be. Just follow the scriptures and follow Yahshua's example. You get it right every time. May Yahweh bless you.